We've just recorded episode number 10 of the Debt Tech podcast, this time with Tom Clark. Another very interesting and informative session, I thought, Lee.
Yeah, and again, just following on from the LASIF conference last week, which lots of the listeners maybe would have attended, really good timing. And Tom gives a great overview and feel for what LASIF do and deliver. And it's a bit of an eye-opener for me, to be honest, because I go along to these conferences thinking LASIF is the conference, but there's lots of other stuff that's happening. Loads of support and information sharing opportunities for local authorities. So yeah, really, really interesting conversation. He's a great guy, Tom, isn't he? You've talked to Tom for hours.
Yeah, he's a good down-to-earth guy. Says it as is, and just really wants to make progress. And yeah, as you hear in probably the last question, the frustration of not being able to make progress quick enough comes through, which is good. You know, keep pressing on. You know, partway through, listeners will hear the sound of birds in the background, which I thought was rather nice for a change. Lee, that wasn't a sound effect we put on. That was your open window, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't get it, but you and Tom picked it up with that. Nice little added bonus.
Bonus, yes. And a prize to those that can tell us what bird it was singing in the background. Answers on a postcard to the usual address. Shall we crack on and roll the titles?
Let's roll the titles.
Let's bloody well roll the titles.
The Debt Tech Podcast with Peters and Lee.
No, it's not Peters and Lee, it's Peter and Lee.
I've heard Rishi Sunak's an avid listener of the podcast.
I actually met him.
You can probably get some tips, shafts and butts jokes.
There's a clip right there.
Right on cue. Where do I get my cue retipped?
At my house.
You're in for a big disappointment. That's all I can say.
There were two things that struck me. He was absolutely pin-shaw, and he was absolutely ripped as well.
The Debt Tech Podcast with Peter and Lee.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Debt Tech Podcast. And this week, hot off the heels of LASIF conference, where we were supposed to be recording the podcast, but due to technical problems and Wi-Fi issues, we didn't get around to doing it. But I'm delighted to see we've got Tom Clark joining us, joining myself and co-host Peter. Tom is Vice Chair of LASIF and also Revenues and Benefits Specialist with Business Smart Solutions. Welcome, Tom. How are you?
Good morning, both. Yeah, very well, thank you. Nice sunny morning in Gloucestershire.
Yeah, it is up here in the northeast of England as well. Is it like down where you are, Peter?
Well, in my cellar here, it's pretty dark, but when I was upstairs earlier, yeah, not bad actually, broken cloud, bit of sun, nice and fresh.
Well, yeah, we've got to say, Tom, big congratulations to you and the LASIF team who put that conference together last week. It's our second time attending as Trustfolio, and I've got to say, two fantastic conferences to be at. The speakers were great. I thought the insolvency panel session, obviously, I've got a bit of skin in the game on that one.
I was going to say, yeah, you would think they were great because you were one yourself, weren't you? But no, thank you very much, Lee. We're very proud of the conferences we put on. There's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes that people don't obviously get to see. They just turn up and enjoy the day. But big shout out to Tracy Stone in particular, who works like a blue arse, you know what, getting everything sorted out on the day. So thank you, Tracy.
Yeah.
Great job.
I think you were supposed to say you know what fly, but you've got that blue ass, you know what.
Yeah, I know.
I know what you mean though. But yeah, Tracy's brilliant. And I think the insolvency panel for me and the Trustfolio guys, it's the first time, like I mentioned on the day, we've been to a conference, I think, where you've had insolvencies as part of a big debate. And hopefully that's something that continues, you know, and people start to talk about this, which is a real issue in terms of the sector and affecting individuals and creditors who are supporting individuals in financial difficulties. So yeah, well done, mate. Brilliant conference and looking forward to the next one already.
Nice so, stuff.
The theme, we can talk about lots of different stuff with yourself, Tom. I've known you for a couple of years now. First introduced to you when you were at Birmingham, I think, and I was at the Money and Pension Service doing some work for those guys. And then we've just continued to stay in touch, and you've been a a massive supporter and an integral part of the Trust for your journey as well. You've worked for a number of different local authorities and obviously your role at LASEF, but you've also just taken on another private venture in terms of something that's quite a passion for you, which is pool. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, certainly. So I've, like I say, I've launched something called TCQ Clinic. So just a small side hustle business in running in conjunction with sort of what I do with Business Smart Solutions. But yeah, I've been cleaning shafts, nipping butts and re-tipping things for many years now, Lee. I've had some good feedback on that, so I thought I may as well get paid for it. Hey, I've been going to the local pub and getting these jobs, haven't I? So why not venture out? And yeah, I've had some good feedback so far. I've been re-tipping queues for lots of different people in the Gloucestershire area, and even used some professionals as well, which has been very good for my early business and getting repeat business. So all good so far, thank you. And you can use those references as much as you like.
There you go. Any pool fans, pool players who need the shafts polished and the tips re-tipped, is that what you call it?
Yes, that's not bad.
Something like that.
You can do soft tips or hard tips depending on what you prefer.
Right, okay, cool. And what's the professional snooker player who you've helped out with?
Jamie Murray, who's a player for Wales, he's a Welsh internationalist, has been really good. He lives in the village next to me, plays in a local pool league. I say players, I had the pleasure of playing against him a couple of weeks ago and he dubbed me 3-0, so it wasn't much of a match. But he plays in a local league, so quite lucky that he let me work on his tip. In fact, he's got a John Parrish queue, which is worth a lot of money, so I was quite nervous actually doing it. A John Parrish queue. So like Ronnie O'Sullivan and all the top professionals have John Parrish build the queues for them, so it was a real treat for a queue geek like me to work on his queue.
There you go. He's good enough for professional pool players. Good enough for you guys out there. Any pool cues that need fixing, Tom's your man. Great. I don't know where you find the time, because you're involved in lots of different stuff, Tom. But moving on to the podcast, really interested in your thoughts on a few things. I did want to just ask about LASEF, though, and obviously lots of people involved in the local authority space will know who LASEF are and what they're about. Mm-hmm. But there's probably a lot of organisations who've not yet been to one of your conferences who will benefit from it, Tom. So chance for you to give LASEF a bit of a plug, really, and tell our listeners what it is and how they can get involved.
No, certainly. So LASEF started off as the Local Authority Civil Enforcement Forum, and it's been going for 26 years. It started in a small, dark room, probably not too dissimilar from Peter's in Brighton in 1997. So Barry Minnie, who was our most recently retired chair, but still on the exec board, thankfully, thought there was a need for this kind of forum in the local government arena. Led to believe, I mean, Hastings said I was still at primary school at the time, but I'm going by what he's told me. He said that Margaret Thatcher in the Times was making sure that people effectively had to justify their outputs and things like that. So and John Major followed suit. So local authority enforcement teams had to show that they were making money to continue their function. So Barry saw the dangers in this and thought, well, if we're doing it and my, you know, peers are doing it in different local authorities, we'll come together and make sure that we are sharing best practice to make sure that we can facilitate the success of that journey. And since then, it's kind of moved on. We don't like to describe ourselves as the Local Authority Civil Enforcement Forum anymore, because it lends quite well to just enforcement, but we have kind of broadened our reason now to just best practice and all manner of debts, like sundry debt, council tax, business rates, parking elements, lots of different things as well. I mean, what people don't realise when you class something as a sundry debt, local authorities have got maybe 130, 140 of those. Like, it could be anything from a wasp's nest, or, you know, like what they talked about at the conference was, you know, finding a stray dog and making somebody pay to get it back. And quite often they won't pay to get it back. They'll give them it back. And where's the incentive for them to actually pay the council after that point? Makes it very difficult. Someone made a joke about potentially keeping a dog hostage. And I can understand why they don't do that. It's very, very difficult. So there's a whole manner of things that we can talk about. And we've most recently started working with DLUP and net zero fraud people at the national government, and we've got lots of fraud talk going on as well, because a lot of that's stimulated from more recently COVID grants that businesses got. Councils are furiously trying to recover some of that money. It's quite a touchy subject. And what we're seeing now is a lean towards adult social care collections as well. We could probably talk for hours about that, but it is quite a difficult debt to collect. We're at a point where, you know, some people are having to sell homes to pay for care fees, which is something that, you know, for me is not an ideal situation. But local authorities are lumbered with trying to collect that money from people who sometimes can't afford to pay, but sometimes people can pay, and it's a very, like I said, touchy subject trying to get it out from them. So
it's
whole
probably
point
the more sensitive type of debt to collect, I would imagine. It's not absolutely one that's talked about a lot.
No, it's not, but there's been some big reforms that have come in recently, so we're seeing a lot of our members want to talk about that, which is good. But the point I'm making is that there's a whole manner of areas that local authorities need to concentrate on from a debt perspective. But LACE I've seen as a centre of excellence for practitioners to discuss that on a professional basis. You know, we use the Knowledge Hub platform, where it's free to register if you've got a .gov.uk email address. And then after you've registered, you can post and ask questions for free. And you've got near enough 1,000 members that are there willing to share ideas and help you. We get a lot of activity. Even look this morning, there was people talking about things like how you get the best way to set up an arrangement on the Northgate NEC system, which is like a council tax specific system. But we do get a lot of chatter on that, which is really, really good. But yeah, it's been going for a long time now. Our executive is 10 strong. We've got 9 executive directors, and we've got 1 non-executive director, who is Tracy Stone. Retiring chair was Barry Minney. Our new chair is Sophie Ayersco, and I am the current vice chair. So we've got
Sophie from NEC.
Sorry?
Is Sophie from NEC?
No, she's a revenues manager at a shared partnership for Watford Rivers at the moment. But yes, we've got quite a large group. We've also had a couple of new people join recently. So shout out to Jess Simmons in Wales, and Debbie Greenwood, who is working at Southwark and is seen as more of a adult social care specialist, we'll say. So we're trying to add more talent to the group all the time. But yeah, it's like I say, it's really just a free portal to use where people can share knowledge and get best practice ideas on things like technology. You mentioned insolvency before, whole manner of things, really.
Well, there's lots going on behind the scenes, which, like you see, you don't really see it from the outside looking in. You benefit from the conference and stuff, but I recognise this, and Peter will as well, from our work that we do with Mild, there's a huge effort from lots of people goes into putting these conferences on, and I was really impressed with the sort of broad range of speakers and the different topics that were covered on the day as well. And you had the debt advice sector represented by Matt from Debt Free Advice, now as they call it, used to be Debt Free London.
Yeah, Debt Free Advice, yeah.
And there's always the tech firms, the enforcement agents, obviously getting involved in those types of conversations as well, where it's not just collections, but is there a support approach, a support angle before you hit that moment of truth type of thing. And I think that's where I see lots of benefit from attending these conferences. You're bringing people in and sharing different approaches to ultimately support the individual out of debt, but also support the creditor in the job that they need to do as well, especially from the local authority perspective, where you have to collect the debts to fund the other essential services that local authorities are expected to deliver.
No, definitely. Like I say, we always try and point in, you know, different elements of speakers. You know, this year we had Kath Wallace from Illegal Money Lending.
She was brilliant.
And she's a really good speaker, very passionate about the subject. But most local authority practitioners, if they're looking for an income and expenditure form, that wouldn't really come, you know, under their sort of thought process or remit. It's good just to highlight elements like that to get people to think differently about, you know, if you're looking at a benefit claim and people are borrowing money all the time, is that a real, you know, from family or even from, you know, a regular source? Is that you know, appointed to say that they might be struggling, you know, financially, you know. As well,
yeah.
You can make assumptions in league, but it's just something to think about, isn't it? And it was really good to have representatives from Amazon Web Service there this year. They put a really good talk on about what they're doing as well.
No, I think that's it again. That's another example of first time I've seen Amazon represented at a conference. And I was hoping to get along to that one, but I couldn't. I couldn't get to their session, so.
Oh, really? We didn't record the sessions and the speakers, but we did record the audio and we do have the spreadsheet and things. So we will be sending them out in the next week or so. So great. You won't miss out. As long as you got a spare half an hour sometime, you can get it watched and listened to.
I'll find half an hour, I'm sure. Do you know, we said this at the start, time flies, doesn't it? And I'm just mindful of the time. I know you've got a hard stop as well. So I just want to get through another couple of questions, Tom, whilst we've got you. You know. So sticking to the LASER theme, can you share some success stories or noticeable achievements LASER's undertaken to improve local government debt collection specifically?
Yeah, so I mean, like I say, I won't labour too much on the hub aspect. That's something that's a big achievement. It's something we're very proud of because it is free and, you know, it gets used on a regular basis. That's probably, I would say, our main success is that, you know, I keep emphasising element free because, you know, there are other practitioner elements out there, you know, to get the caveat in, but we're the only one, to my knowledge, that is a free membership. So it's good to provide that to local authorities who are already struggling for cash, really. But I like to see us as the, you mentioned it before, but like almost like the squirrels in the background running around, getting things done. We don't always shout out about some of the achievements that we do get, but one that we certainly are very proud of is our work that we do with the Cabinet Office in the background. And one particular achievement is that Barry Minis was the genesis for the most recently data sharing pirate between the HMRC and DWP and the local authorities. So that was a real big piece of work. They used the LASER platform to canvas opinion for volunteers and things like this, and did a lot of the work on the data sharing agreements and things like this. You know, and there have been two pilots of those with varying success with the second one, but certainly, you know, I was working at Birmingham at the time. We were able to share, you know, pretty much our whole arrears debt book with them using a Digital Economy Act pilot. And we were able to get employment information for a substantial amount of debtors from that. We were then able to engage with the debtors on a different basis. I wouldn't quite say we were threatening them, but it was this very strong letter that said, we now know where you work. Do you want to talk to us and pay it? Otherwise, we will go straight to your employer. And it led, certainly at Birmingham, led to some very large payments coming in very quickly. You know, if you work for somewhere like the police or national service, things like that, you don't really want them knowing that you are council tax, for example. So it did extract some very, very large payments. So there's a lot of work that goes in the background that we do to try and push, you know, the local authority voice. But that's one certainly that we're very proud of. And it's been recognised nationally. It's been put up for a national award, that work. Sadly, you know, the people who put the award nomination in haven't recognised LASER's drive and input in that. That's a story for another day. But nonetheless, we'll tell anyone who wants to know that we're very proud of that achievement and we're looking forward to seeing how it moves forward in the future, because although it's not business as usual at the moment, I'd like to think that it was a success and it will become something that local authorities can access to facilitate debt collection in the near future.
Well, you've just told the story very well, articulated very well there, Tom, to are we up to 500,000 listeners now, Peter, per week? Big number, isn't it?
Internationally or just in the UK?
Internationally.
The Digital Economies Act, is that something you're involved with as well, Peter?
Yes, it is. Yes. So I'll have seen those pilots. I've been involved since it started, which is coming up for 5 years now, actually, that particular process. And so, yes, I'm sort of everything you talk about there and those exchanges of data, something that that I've been watching, you know, over the last sort of 2 or 3 years as well.
Peter, that it's an area, because I certainly feel this way, that the local authority is not exploring it as much as they should?
I would like to see the act used more. Yeah, definitely. It's not a 2-minute process. And you know, quite rightly, there's some hoops to jump through. I see that board sort of being fairly vigorous in its examination of the pilots to try and make sure that, you know, the data is used as it should be and wisely and so on and so forth. But the results from those pilots, I think, are really encouraging.
Yeah, definitely. No, I completely agree. There is I wouldn't say a misunderstanding. That's maybe too strong, but there's certainly a lot local authority practitioners could learn about data sharing and compliance and things like this. It's certainly not something that's ignored, of course, but something that from working in many local authorities, I see some very, very good examples of data sharing agreements and some where it's very negligent and they're not too bothered about it, but because they're smaller local authorities, people don't complain. Whereas if you work somewhere like Birmingham, or I've worked at Brent in London, it's quite political and, you know, everybody's looking at you under a microscope. You don't get away with as much. So no, I absolutely think that there's a few ideas certainly that the LASF have got in the pipeline that we think the Digital Economy Act would be good for. It's just trying to get over those barriers, in particularly DWP data with a new memorandum of understanding, and knowing who's the data controller and who's the data subject and who's the data owner, essentially. And that informs some of those discussions, definitely.
Tom, that probably leads nicely on to the last question I've got before I'll ask Peter if he's got any other questions for you. And it is whether or not you think there's any other innovative or alternative approaches that you believe local government debt teams should consider adopting at the moment?
Yeah, so I mentioned briefly earlier about the Amazon Web Service application that they're developing in conjunction with local authorities, a revenues and benefits operating system, which is good because it adds more competition to the marketplace, but it's also designed by practitioners for practitioners. And in essence, it just looks from the outside like, oh, that's just Amazon developing something to make a quick buck. But it's actually led by open source technology, which is something that I wasn't too familiar with until quite recently. I was invited to a demonstration at Amazon's UK headquarters in Shoreditch. The wicked offices, Lee and Peter, if you ever get a chance to go, I can recommend it. So the food was good and the facilities were really good and the freebies were definitely off the scale. So get yourselves there. But getting back to the more serious point, the open source element, they explained that this code is actually free for anyone to use, which I thought was quite bizarre at first. I was like, what do you mean it's free? And then you look and you think, well, actually, to give an example of the revenues and benefits operating system, you've got local authorities, larger local authorities paying, you know, upwards of, you know, £1 million for systems like that. So if they could use a free product and it was only system maintenance and data, buying data essentially to house them, if that was the only cost they have, it could be a real significant money changer for local authorities. But getting back to the point of how local authorities could use it, so I think they're a long way away from establishing this revenues and benefits product, but using open source technology in other areas of local government I thought was amazing. They showed you, we had somebody there from Drupal who was talking about what they do. And it's like a shared CMS platform where it can update videos and content simultaneously for different local authority sites that sign up. Where I thought that would be good for, you know, local authorities is, you know, if you got best practice demonstrations for things like council tax arrears, sundry debt arrears, you know, housing benefit overpayment arrears, you could almost have like a best video with embedded links and things like this and just update it for everybody simultaneously for almost for nothing. You know, that's a real step forward for local government, because we are all trying to build similar platforms, achieve similar results. And if we can work together using these open source elements, I think, you know, it's only good for people moving forward. The slight downside, I guess, to open source is that anybody can use it. So there'll be nothing stopping, say that, for example, Amazon and, you know, the local authorities that are designing this new product, so they shared it with local authorities, there'd be nothing to stop a private contractor taking it and adapting it and making it a little bit better. Right. But again, that's still driving improvement, isn't it? So I think why we're so passionate about LASF and why we're so desperate about them to talk was that we feel that it shares our core values. in its purest form, because we like to share knowledge and best practice. And I feel like it's kind of like the almost like the robotic version of that. It's sharing knowledge and best practice of code and applications. And I certainly think for, you know, there's 300 plus local authorities in England and Wales trying to do essentially the same thing. Obviously, you've all got different goals on a micro and macro level within that, different sizes, etc. But essentially, there's a lot of core elements that are similar, and we could save ourselves a lot of time of effort using open source.
Fascinating. Yeah. I mean, it'd be dead interesting to see how this all pans out over the next year or two, because it really depends on the motivation to use this, the appetite and the will. But we tech people, so we fully believe in the benefits and the opportunities in this type of stuff. We're just about out of time. Peter, is there anything else that you wanted to cover?
So one question I wanted to ask you, Tom, in addition to what you've been discussing with us earlier there, if you had if you had the chance to change just one thing in the industry at the moment that would, you know, make all the difference, what do you think it would be?
For me, it seems quite a simple answer, but in real terms, it's probably fraught with danger and things like this. But and I don't know whether I'm actually harming the whole integrity of local authorities when I say this, but we are all, certainly from a council tax perspective and business rates perspective, we're beholden to statutory legislation that help us collect debts. So you would think there would be an argument there to standardise the best practice and recovery of certain elements, make it consistent across the country. That would be my preference. I mean, and the way I always see this is like you've got states in America who are larger than the whole of the UK, and they have coherent, consistent things. But we on this little island don't have the ability between the 300 odd local authorities to do things the same. The regulations are quite grey and allow a certain level of flexibility. But I do think that there's certainly, if I could change something, it would be a law that's passed down to standardise the debt collection of council tax and business rates across the country. I don't think it's so difficult to achieve. I think there's a lot of good work that local gov are doing. Like Lee mentioned before, debt advice practitioners, a lot of good learning we can take. I just think that if you're somebody who moves between local authorities, you should expect a consistent approach from both, and not, for example, in one area you'll get a call out within a month, whereas others will wait nearly 3 months. So I think the level of consistency is something that doesn't sit well with me. And I carried up the local authorities I work for the other day. I'm up to 13 now. I've seen some really good stuff, and I've seen some quite shocking stuff as well. So it would be good to kind of just, you know, standardise that, because it is a consistent function across that. We have to set the council tax, we have to collect it in a standard way. So don't get me wrong, when it gets to the point where, you know, you need to do things like enforcement, there's a room for manoeuvre there, you know, you can pick your own providers, etc. But I do think that billing element of it is quite standardised, and that lends quite well to what Jonathan Woodward was saying in a previous podcast about, you know, your resources the wrong way around. Yeah. He's absolutely right. But I honestly think you could take it a step further from that. Rather than concentrate on the collections, just standardise how you do it. So we could then collect the data analysis would be easy to compare across the country. We could see real statistics. We could, you know, do some real heavy data analytics on that, see real areas of depravity and things like this. So I do think that there's a lot local authorities could do. Because there's 300 of us, but and it's probably bad for a practitioner like myself, because it would sort of standardise it. It wouldn't need as many people working in the industry. But I just think that it's so inconsistent at the moment, the way local authorities deal with customers. And it would be really good to, certainly from a, not so much a customer service perspective, but from a collections perspective, I think there's definitely work to be done in getting that standardised nationally.
And of course, there's been quite a lot of work done by the Cabinet Office over the last few years. Certainly, I was involved in that when I was at the CSA. Sort of the fairness in debt collection sort of initiative, and for central government departments, there's a sort of a blueprint. I'm not using the right terminology here, but there's a sort of a standard been established there. But I'm not sure how far that's crossed over into local authorities.
It has crossed over a little bit, Peter, because I mean, LASEF's been quite heavily involved in those conversations. We have a—I haven't mentioned it before, but we do have a cross-debt group that we sort of are members of. We engage with the Ministry of Justice, the DWP, Child Maintenance Arrears, Water Board, things like this. We all get together, but quite honestly, I'm not just saying this from a biased local authority perspective, because we often look with envious eyes to the private sector and think, wow, they're doing some amazing things. But generally, in my experience, a lot of those sectors are looking at local authorities and saying, what are you doing? Can we copy it? Rather than the other way around.
Right.
However, you're right. But and there is similar things like I've seen. I mean, Lee will be able to talk about this more than me, but I've seen, like, you know, the vulnerability toolkits and things like this come out, and it's great work, and you should, if anyone's listening and they haven't looked at it, certainly look at it. It'll help your staff no end. But it's all kind of like there, it's pretty and it's not mandatory. So it's like, if you've got a proactive practitioner who'll go out there and look for these things and make sure his staff are doing it, that's fine. But if you've got someone who couldn't give a two, they're not really going to do it. But I think what I'm trying to say in the standardization element is take the choice out of it and just make it clean for everybody. That would be the one thing I would do. Maybe I'm a bit too headstrong, but that's my view. And I think that it's definitely achievable. It's just getting people, almost in a statutory way, to act in the way that's best for customers. Yeah.
I think we would definitely see the merits in that, Peter, coming from FCA regulated background. People have a bit of a moan about the FCA, but certainly what it has done is introduced a set of standards.
Well, we are seeing it, Lee, in other areas, aren't we? I mean, the enforcement conduct board's just been established. Best practice in that. You know, my sister's a solicitor. Look her up on LinkedIn, Jane Wilson. She's about to start a new firm. She's doing really well. But she, to the point I'm making, is the SRA regulate solicitors as well.
Yeah.
But local authorities, we've got an ombudsman from a customer services perspective, but from a financial perspective, I think we're leagues behind some of the sectors we've just mentioned.
Well, there's a whole other debate we could have probably maybe on another day about whether all debt collections should be regulated, a little bit like it is sort of in the US that you mentioned earlier. But at the moment, it's just financial services that's regulated, water, gas, electricity, telco in part, and certain local authorities aren't. And although there's some regulation through the back door with the breathing space and possibly whenever we see it, SDRP or whatever it comes out at, but you know, it's a large topic to debate. We're sort of saying that, really, aren't we?
Even breathing space, Peter, it's very flimsy the way it's pushed onto the local authority to do that. So you've got some, like at Birmingham, they took it really seriously. Like they've got like a data lake where you can look at and see, you know, the common elements of debts. But the onus is on the local authority to find the debts, right? But what we'll find is, like, as I mentioned before, there's 140 different debts some local authorities, unitaries can have. So joining up all those teams together to do an effective, even just a breathing space arrangement is no mean task, you know. You're right. I mean, SDRP has been shelved as far as I can see. There was a lot of concern, wasn't there, from the advice sector and creditors, but interesting to see if they did it. I'll be honest, with my revenues hat on, I read it and I was sort of like trembling, thinking, oh my god, this is going to cause an operational nightmare. But I can definitely see the need for it from a customer perspective, and that, I think that's what sometimes people forget. Certainly in local authorities, there's a lot of good work, but I mean, if I had a pound for every time I heard someone on the phone, I'll give you an example, somebody rings up, they've had an arrears letter for the council tax, you'll hear somebody say, okay sir, can I have your account number, it's very robotic, and then they'll say, okay, if you pay, I will suppress your reminder and not send it to the enforcement agents. And it's like, in English, like, suppress, what do you mean? It's like, okay, if you pay, I'm not, if you pay, everything will be okay, is the right thing you need to say, right? You don't need to say, I'll suppress your recovery notice for 14 days. And it's things like that, you know, we just need to work on. And if we get past that, I think we'll be okay.
Well, Tom, I think we're going to have to draw things to a close there, but what a fascinating discussion. And we'll definitely have to get you back on at some point in the future and talk about things as they evolve and develop. But look, really looking forward to getting this one out there for the listeners to listen to and comment and give us feedback on as well. So thank you very much and enjoy the rest of your week.
No,
great. Thanks,
thank
Tom.
You. Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Peter. Really enjoyed it. And yeah, avid listener. So if you're not listening already, please do. It's really insightful. Not just my discussion, but some of others as well. And yeah, like I said to you before, plenty of other ASF members will be jumping at the bit to talk to you. So I'm sure you won't be short of volunteers.
Good stuff.
We'll add them to the list. Great. Cheers, everyone.
Thanks, Sam. So that's podcast number 10 all done and dusted. Well done for lasting till the very end of the interview with Tom Clark, and lots of tips from him, no pun intended. Well, a little bit of a pun maybe. Remember to look out for podcast number 11, which we'll be recording in about 2 weeks' time. We're not quite sure who yet will be joining us from our extensive list of experts, but whoever it is, we'll be asking them how they see digital resources being better used to help customers in financial difficulty. In the meantime, if you'd like to know a bit more about what we lovingly call Debt Tech, head right over now to trustfolio.co.uk on the World Wide Web.